Our first issue is about immigrants and assimilation, melting pot or mosaic. Political scientist Lynn Leverty.
Assimilation has always been a major issue in terms of immigration, and actually it was an issue way back when the Puritans were trying to keep the Quakers out. So the issues of how much diversity any nation can handle and still be a nation is one that has been around for a very long time and one that we're certainly still dealing with.
Some of the voices you'll hear are Joanne Peart of Floridians for Immigration Control, historian Ray Arsenault, Rick Altman of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, anthropologist Christine Ho, anthropologist Susan Greenbaum, sociologist Max Castro.
These people are almost more concerned with what's going on in the country where they came, the politics there, than they are with assimilating into this country.
Throughout most of Florida's history, its proportion of foreign-born was about one-third of the national average. Until the Second World War, it was a very native-born, homogeneous-looking place. It's no longer that. Today, it is approximately twice the national average. So we really have become the heart of the beast when it comes to multiculturalism.
They're keeping their language, their culture. They're changing streets here to streets that are named after Cuban patriots, and they're really revising American history, such as they want to change Collins Avenue in Miami to Jose Marti.
The first generation of immigrants have always wanted to cling to their ancestral cultures. In subsequent generations, I think that hunger and that need diminishes.
Florida will continue to be an example of the mosaic instead of the melting pot, because there really is no example of the melting pot. Florida is more diverse than most states, and I think in many ways it lends itself towards the retention of traditional cultures more than other places.
The process of assimilation is not a myth, although it doesn't mean that everybody melts into one homogeneous or should. But people do become more alike in some ways. Over time, they tend to become more like other Americans.
On my father's side, I'm sixth or seventh generation Floridian. And on my mother's side, I'm third generation Floridian. My father's side was Irish and English. And my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was Needleman Yates. I believe he founded Kissimmee, Florida. And I did have some Indian. I remember a great uncle. My grandmother had Indian in her, and she would not admit it. But I remember a great uncle coming up into our area quite often from the reservation, and he could call gators, and we would raise them to sell to Gatorland in Kissimmee. And then, of course, you know, with the prejudice and the Indians, I remember no one, even especially my grandmother, not even wanting my uncle to come in because he looked so much of his heritage as an Indian, and she just hated it when he would come into town. Years back, about 22, 23 years ago, I married a black man, so I was totally ousted from my family. So here my daughter has the slave background, and here my ancestry actually brought slaves into America. So my daughter, she is she has such a diversity in her background and her heritage. It's very interesting. But my grandfather on my mother's side, he was German, and he was KKK. I mean, my mother can remember him coming home and talking about hanging and lynching. And so, of course, on my mother's side, I was totally, ousted. I had, once I married my husband, I was never welcome again in that part of the family. Oh, man, it was rough. I was told that I was dead. On my father's side, once my father passed away, I have two aunts that have accepted me back into the family, but the rest of the family makes it clear that they are not interested. So sometimes I get on to this, story, and it's like people look at me in amazement, like, what is this? But I'm proud of everything that's in my heritage. That's what is the beauty of it, is how colorful it really is.